If you want to open up your Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and in this new series here that we will be doing, I have to say that I've got most of it prepared and ready to go. The problem that I have is I always add to everything after I start going over it. And so this first message here this morning is actually not a part of the original plans here. It is a part of the Armor of God series, but it's something that I just added, and I thought I'd kick off with this instead of the original first one that I was going to kick off with. This is going to go for several weeks. There's so much in this study that Paul gives us. And folks, understand that when God inspires a man, the Bible says that the scriptures were inspired by the Holy Spirit who moved upon, the Bible said, holy men of God. So as Paul and others will look at Peter, who write about our adversary, who talk about the armor of God, God is putting all of that in his word to not only be inspired, but preserved and passed down to our time now, because there's still a need for it. That means that the devil, if God wrote this way back in Paul's day, the devil was alive and active then. But it's carried on to us today. It's on your lap, per se, if you would. And it's because he's still actively moving and advancing today. And I think with the change of our times, as we look at our world, if you watch any news that's reliable, you're seeing things are changing. You're seeing a lot that's getting closer as we are going to wrap up what before the rapture gets here, I really believe. You have Sweden, who is going to completely digitize everything. They are going to go with the marks of different things to prepare for the mark of the beast. We see the economy. We see that the scriptures warned us that in the last times, perilous times would come. We saw that there'd be wars and rumors of wars. Folks, if you are a believer, you better have your antennas up. You better keep your eyes on Israel. This is the preparatory. Praise God that they're seeing some peace treaties trying to get taken care of. It's all preparatory for the Antichrist to come in and set up another peace treaty, which will be carried out. And there's so much that's happening right now that I remember when I was first saved 40-some years ago, that was all new to me, and they were talking about it then, but things are so close. The Bible says that your salvation, your deliverance, is nearer than when you first believed. And I hope that you are a believer today. Because if you're not a believer, this doesn't help you at all. Because you're already taken captive by Satan at his will. And the only one that can deliver you is Jesus Christ. That's why he came as a savior to mankind. A savior to deliver you from the bondage of sin. And all you have to do is understand that he died for your sins. And that you have to simply agree with him. I know that I'm a sinner. I tell you what, when the gospel was presented to me, and that somebody was saying, did you know you were a sinner? They didn't have to convince me of that. I already knew my lifestyle. I knew the way that I was living, that I was guilty before a holy God, and that I needed what he offered. That was grace and mercy. Grace, God giving me something that I don't deserve, his son, and mercy, God withholding something from me that I did deserve, his judgment for my sin. Understand that the wages of sin is death. Sin has to be paid for. Sin will be paid for. And you can allow either Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, to pay for your sins. And if you don't, whether you outright reject it, I don't believe that, or whether you say maybe at a more convenient season and you become negligent of it and you never ever do it, then you have to pay for your own sin debt. And it's an eternal debt. And the Bible teaches clearly it's in a Christless eternity, a place that's called ultimately the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So this series is for born-again believers. And I would beg of you, if you're not a Christian today, that you would call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, and you can be saved. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and mean it in your heart, and he will forgive you and cleanse you of your sins. With that, we are coming now to the book of Ephesians, and we already read the passage here, but I want you to follow with me again. We're going to cover a few verses here in Ephesians 6, beginning in verse number 10 again. And Paul is writing here, and he uses the word finally. As he's getting ready to close out this book, he has given a lot of instruction to the Ephesian believers. And when we talk about the Ephesians, these are just real people like we are, meeting and living in the city of Ephesus. So we could have a book called A Letter to the Arlingtons, right? Arlington Knights, whatever you would call ourselves. Regency Knights, whatever. Anyway, doesn't make matter. Let's get back into the scriptures, amen? Verse 10, look what he says. Finally, he says, finally, my brethren. So we see clearly he's writing to believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And we'll get into the armor in the days ahead here. I think let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get this started here. Father, we ask that as we open up your word, you'd open up our minds, you'd open up our hearts, that we'd allow your word to come in and speak to us individually, that we'd be listening to this as if you were directly talking to each one of us, which you are. And I pray, Father, as we begin this series, we know that there is that possibility of the adversary trying to bring about resistance. So we would ask, Father, that you would rebuke him, even now from our services of worship. And may we take these truths that you've given us from your word, and may we receive them with meekness. May we engraft them into our lives. May we realize the reality and the urgency of the hour. You told the Galatians to quit you like men, be strong. And may we become more mighty and more powerful, more victorious, more than conquerors through him that loved us, for your glory and for your honor. We pray that you'll just add your blessings now on this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 6, as Paul is writing, he is urging. So if he's urging them, it must be something that is urgent. He is urging the Christians personally, he's urging them individually, and he's urging them corporately as a church to stand firm in their faith and to acknowledge that spiritual warfare is a reality. You can't just be like a pinball being bumped around in the machine type of Christian life. You have to be sober, the Bible says. You need to be vigilant, he says, because your adversary, there is an adversary, and he says it's the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so we see that Paul is writing that this is an urgent time in their day, and how much more urgent is it today for Christians to wake up? I think we have gone to sleep spiritually. We have grown relaxed. We are not preparing ourselves. And yet we saw in Revelation that Satan understands the shortness of his time and that he's coming down with great wrath. Now, I want to make sure through this that the devil would not have a problem with me preaching on this as long as I stay on the dark side of it, the defeated side. But I want you to understand that we sang that we have victory in Jesus. We have more, we are, the Bible says, more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so we need to understand that God has a part for us in this spiritual battle. And we have to, before we can even begin to participate, we have to understand that the spiritual warfare that we face is real. It's not something that the preacher's just talking about. It's not something that Paul just decided to write about. This is a reality. There is a spiritual realm that's real and that we need to understand fully. So these verses are going to provide for us here today some very, very profound insights and help us to understand our adversary and help you and I as a believer to be able to encounter the wicked one when he confronts us and be also encouraged that you and I, by the grace of God, can stand and withstand everything that he throws at you. I believe personally, and I'm speaking from my own personal situation, that I believe the Bible says that God cannot tempt man. God is not tempted with evil. The devil is the one that brings temptation. God will test us, test our faith, what we believe in him, and he uses those tests to draw us closer to him, but the devil will tempt us, hoping that he can entice us to draw us away of our own lusts. And his is not to, as God tests us to draw us closer, Satan will tempt us to draw us away. And I believe that the temptations of the wicked one, of our enemy, will increase more and more and more. And we'll see that as we go through this series. And yet with that, Christians can know that, Christians can acknowledge that, and yet they will not prepare themselves for that by not putting on the whole armor of God, having the shield of faith that will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So let's take and explore this study. And I had to do this. This first lesson is for me, all right? It might not be for you guys. It's on the armor of God. But before we get into it, because the next three weeks are on knowing your adversary. So I'm going to be speaking a lot about what the scripture teaches about Satan, about the devil, and how he operates, how he thinks, the meanings of his names. God gave them these names. And those names always will define his character, his personality, his activities. And you know what? If we are sitting here as a nation today, and there's wars going around everywhere, we got our president over here trying to seek out bringing peace here, while at the same time dealing with situations that could erupt even more down in Venezuela, over in China, as well as Russia, and Iran saying, who wants to use me? I'll join in. It's good for us as a military strength, not only to have the strength of what we have for forces, but to have a knowledge of who our enemy is and how they think and how they operate. And so this is what God's giving us for this spiritual battle. Not only to know what you have in Christ, but you need to be familiar with the one that you're battling as well. And the reason why I say that is because God tells us about him so that we will know how he thinks and how he operates and how he works, so that we are not, as the Bible says, ignorant of his devices. So if God says that we are not ignorant of his devices, that means that we can be if we don't take time to study the scriptures to prepare ourselves. So this lesson here is for me, because as I was studying this stuff out, I kind of got depressed. I believe this is the message God wants me to bring right now. I believe that he's giving me direction for it, for the outlines and all of that. But I start getting I can go on to the darker side of things. And I want to stay on the light side of things as I teach this. And so I come up with 9 uplifting thoughts. 9 uplifting thoughts before we get into the areas of study. And by the way, it's going to be some good stuff and some hard things to understand, but I think God has it laid out for us. So as we get into the 9 uplifting thoughts, this is for me. Now, if you get benefit from it, praise God, amen. I hope you do. So the first one is strength in the Lord. As we get ready to go into this study, we need to understand that the first uplifting thought that I had is that we have strength in the Lord. Notice what it says here in our text that you just read in verse 10. Paul opens Ephesians 6:10 with a call to be strong in the Lord, and, it says, in the power of His might. That is the first thing that uplifted me. It's a reminder to encourage you and I as believers that our strength and our ability does not lie in us. You cannot fight a spiritual battle in the flesh. And so he says, you have to be strong, and there's the key word, in the Lord and in the power of your might. No, it's His might. It's His might. And so he's encouraging us to remember right off the bat that the battle is the Lord's. You and I will be tools in His hand, vessels in His hand to go out and do what we need to do. And so here we see that he reminds us and he lifts us up with strength is in the Lord. Proverbs 3, we're all familiar with 5 and 6. It says, trust, there's that word again, in the Lord, and lean not to thine own understandings. That's our natural thing, right? The supernatural is to trust in the Lord. That's the supernatural. And lean not to thine own understandings. That's the natural. Our natural man wants to go and fight our own battles. We want to resist those things that are happening. And by the way, the things that Satan will bring into your life can be circumstances, it can be situations, it can be people that he will use. And so here we see that he encourages us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, relying on divine power. And that divine power will then transform my weakness into the Lord's strength. For Paul said, for when I am weak, then am I strong. So it has to come to a place where we first off acknowledge, Lord, I believe in the reality of spiritual warfare. I believe that I have an adversary that you call the devil and Satan. I believe that you have provided armor for me that we're going to be studying about that I need to be prepared and put on. But it all begins with, Lord, the battle is the Lord's. The Old Testament says the battle is the Lord's, and I need your strength, and I need to be strong in you. In Psalm 18, verse 32, if you're taking notes, David said that the Lord is the one that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. So even David understood the need of proper preparation and armament that came from God in spiritual battles. David fought a lot of physical battles. David fought a lot of spiritual battles. And so we see that you and I are fighting some spiritual battles. And he says, first off, I want you to understand that there's strength in the Lord. Secondly, and by the way, there's 9 of these, so I'm not going to take a long time on each of them. But the second thing he wants us to do is not only strength that's in the Lord, but the full armor of God. We see in verse number 11, Paul instructs those believers, as well as you and I today. Look at verse 11. What's the first 2 words, everybody? All together, ready? Put on. Put on. That means it can be neglected. It could be left laying. It could be taken off. And he's calling for the church to put it on. That means it's not on. And there may be some of you today that you're saved, you're a Christian, there's no question about it. We're not calling into question salvation. But how about preparation for the battle? And it's going to intensify. And so he's telling us today, it's time to put on the whole armor of God. Not be selective about it. Not pick and choose. Oh, I want to put on the sandals of peace. You need to have on the sandals of peace, but also the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. You need to also have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Are you spending time in God's word? You have to have the shield of faith. And then he closes it all out and covers it in prayer, praying always for all saints. Now, the Spirit, because I'm talking about the Spirit that when a person receives Christ as their Savior, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, correct? The Holy Spirit comes in and makes our body His temple. When the Spirit sees this, when the Spirit hears me or somebody else reading it personally or publicly, He gets excited. He gets excited. But the old man, the old nature, the flesh that's still in us, that resists the Spirit, is like, so what? I'm not being moved. This doesn't excite me. This flesh is never excited about spiritual things. That's how you can tell even right now whether you're walking in the Spirit or in the flesh, by the way. If this is like just ho-hum, then you ought to be concerned as a Christian that it's just ho-hum. But if it's like, yes, we're going to study, I'm going to find this. How can I be more effective? How can I be more than a conqueror for Christ? My strength is in the Lord. He will give me the ability to stand fast and done everything I could to withstand in the evil day. And it's because He's allowing me to put on this garment that He felt that I need, that He provided freely to be victorious. So He says, put on the whole armor of God. Now understand, He's speaking metaphorically. He's using this as a picture to help us fully understand. Paul was writing this book while he was in prison. He was writing this book to the Ephesians while he was in Roman prison, probably being chained up to Roman soldiers. And as he's sitting there one day, he began to look at all their gear that they wore, their helmets and their breastplates and everything. And God used him to take that situation and to metaphorically bring it about for us as Christian soldiers. So this armor represents God's protection. You have strength in the Lord, which is God's presence. Amen? But He says, I'm going to add to that my protection too. I want to encourage you as saints that God loves you, wants you to be victorious, wants to protect you from spiritual attacks. And knowing that God has equipped you and I individually, provided the equipment that will enable us to stand firm, we have nobody to blame when we fall, because we've been provided all that we need to stand. The Bible tells us, and we'll get into this verse down the road here, that some Christians are taken, the Bible says, captive at His will. How does a person that's in Christ, how are they taken captive? Which, by the way, that's another military term. They become a prisoner of war. How do they become captive at Satan's will? We'll be covering that. How does that happen? Right now, we can see that they're not properly prepared and clothed. This should be giving the saints, as we know that there's an adversary, confidence in what God is providing for us to be victorious. It's interesting, in Romans chapter 13, and if you want to turn there, we'll go over there real quick. Romans 13, when he talks about this armor of God, notice how Paul declares it here in Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. He also says this, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Now watch, and let us put on the armor of light. He says, we're running out of time. Time is getting short, and some of you need to cast off. There's things in your life you can't put on until you have cast off some things. And he goes, and you need to cast off the works of darkness. Some of you are continually living in sin, and you need to get that sin confessed, get that sin out of your life, and then put on the armor of light, he calls it. Light is purity. He goes on and he tells us in 2 Corinthians, if you'd flip there, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And again, these are all the Apostle Paul's letters. In 2 Corinthians, we see in chapter 6, in verse 7, but the word of truth by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness. So here we see that Paul says it's the armor of God. It is the armor of light, which is purity. It's the armor of righteousness. That means that you are walking in the ways of God. His word is a lamp unto your feet. It's that light unto your path. So it's a glorious, righteous armor that is shining that you are putting on. You are representing the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your commander and chief in this battle. So we have this encouragement here by Paul, this uplifting thought that I'm going to be with you, but I'm going to give you something that will help protect you as well as we get ready to go into this. Thirdly, he says, I want to encourage you by understanding your enemy. Recognizing that spiritual warfare is real, that when we have struggles and we have battles taking place, which everybody does, that it's not. He wants you to understand, look at verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. My battle is not against other people, though other people can be a part of it, right? I can think of an individual who I feel is a part of Satan's workings that I'm dealing with. But I have to understand I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm not wrestling against him, though he is being, just like God wants to use you and me for his glory, Satan has those that he uses as well. You all understand that? There was a time before I received Christ as my Savior that I was Satan. The Bible says that he was my father and I did the works of him. I was promoting his agenda. But that's not, even though I have somebody that's resisting me, even though I have somebody that's trying to do harm to me, it's actually, though they're trying to do it, it's not them that I'm actually wrestling against. It's not against flesh and blood. If you're fighting and arguing with people that have a driver's license, social security number, you're fighting the wrong person. And folks, we need to understand that because Satan wants to take this battle, if you're not clothed, he wants to take it into your home and into your families and into your church. And if people are focused on just the temporary, they're going to miss the real battle that's taking place and begin to bite and devour one another, which Paul wrote about in some of the churches. They were biting and devouring one another because they were fighting with each other instead of realizing that the enemy was sitting there causing the situation. You remember, and this is not a good illustration, but I think you'll understand what I'm saying. You remember they used to have commercials for Bud Light. And Bud, you remember those? They had these commercials on Bud Light, and the two things about the Bud Light beer was it tastes great and was less filling, right? And so you'd watch these guys, they'd be at the baseball game, and they're watching the ball game, and they're all sitting there drinking their Bud Lights, and the one in the middle would grin, and he'd look over. This guy was drinking it because it was less filling, and this guy was drinking it because it tasted great. And so he looked at the guy that thought it was less filling, he goes, he thinks it tastes great. And he goes, what? And this guy over here is, he drink because it's less filling. He thinks it's less filling. And he'd get them worked up, and they both were on the same team, if you would, drinking the same beers, promoting the same thing, but that guy would see them, and he'd get them worked up, and they'd begin to fight with it, and he'd just grin and duck underneath them and go out. And that's what the devil likes to do. He likes to do that in the church. He likes to do that in the home. Less, tastes great, less filling. And then he sees that he got some going, and they begin to fight each other, and they're missing out on what Paul's trying to teach right here. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But look what he says what we're actually wrestling against. And you'll understand why you need the armor of God. Look what he says here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Those are areas and regions where Satan has set up domains and dominions and all that he talks about, against powers, against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You're going to see as we go along that Satan is very, very organized, very, very strategic. He has his principality. He's got palaties over the United States. He maybe even has palaties over sections of the United States, sections that are over demonic influence. And then he has placed demons or princes over those palaties. There's things taking place in the heavenlies. The Bible says that Satan is the god, little g, of this world, and he has blinded the minds of them which believe not. If you are an unbeliever, your mind is blinded. Satan has blinded it because he doesn't want the light of the gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, to shine into you, because then you would see that you're a sinner and you need a Savior and you'd call upon him to be saved, and he would lose you from his grips. And so he's reminding us that we need to understand the enemy. And the more you and I understand that our spiritual battle is a spiritual battle, it's not flesh and blood, that our enemies are not people, but they are unseen forces. That would keep you and I, listen, this will keep you and I from hating and cursing the person. Though they're bringing you harm, though God, the devil's using them to get at you for whatever reasons, you still, as they say, love the sinner and hate the sin. And so here he wants us to understand that, especially if it's within our realm of family, friends, and fellow believers. So we need to understand that there is the enemy. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:11 that you and I should not be ignorant of his devices, how he operates. So evidently we can be. And the word ignorant is not a bad word. I remember in high school, I was not a good student. And one day one of my teachers called me out in front of all the people and he says, "Heimer, you're ignorant." That's like dropping an F-bomb on me. But it's not a bad word. He was just saying, what you're doing without knowledge. You don't know what you're doing. And so God is saying that we should not be without knowledge of what Satan's doing, how he operates. Why are we having these conflicts here? Why am I having this conflict there, whether it's at work or at home or at church or you name it? Why is that happening? We don't ever think of the spiritual part. We always think of the realm in which we see. He says, you can't do that. Grab onto this teaching here, and it will cultivate your love and your compassion, why you can't be mad at the person, but realize that somebody has said, taste great, less feeling, and they walked away and let you argue about it. Another area here we have is the reality of spiritual warfare. In Ephesians 6:12, where we were just at, Paul affirms when he says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but he tells us what we wrestle against. He is affirming the existence of evil powers in our world. Folks, there's some, don't get me wrong, there are some really wicked, evil people in our world, is there not? But there's wicked powers in our world that are influencing them to do their wickedness. So he wants us to understand the reality. The reality of the powers of this world are wicked. Realize that and acknowledge that our adversary, the devil, is real and he's wicked. He is anti-God. He is anti-Christian. And Peter jumps in and tells us in 1 Peter, as soon as you understand that, then you will begin to understand why I said be sober. Be serious about this. Be vigilant. Know your stuff. Because your adversary, he's your adversary. I could say that to call everybody by name and say he's your adversary, and it would be true, eternal truth. Because your adversary, the devil, he's walking about. Here's another metaphor. He's walking about like a roaring lion, and lions usually roar because they're hungry. Who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The lions always go for the weak ones. And if he sees there's no prayer, no prayer life, no time in the Word because we have all of our reasons why we don't have time for this. That's the ones that he'll bring down. Those are the ones he brings down. So the reality of spiritual warfare, that is an uplifting thing to help us to understand. This is real stuff, folks. This is not pretend. This is not make-believe. God's calling to stand firm. God is calling upon you and me by name. Stay strong. Stay with the stuff. In verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And notice what he says here, and having done all to stand. That means you weren't negligent. You didn't have excuses. You did everything possible that was given to you by God to accomplish victory. It's a call to withstand in the evil day. It serves as a reminder that we are living in an evil time, that you and I are going to go through testings and trials and tribulations, that they're going to be real. I tell you what, there is a rest, the Bible says, that comes to the saints. Amen? There is a rest. I'm looking forward to that day when we are in an eternal rest. Amen? Eternal peace, where everything is ruled by righteousness. No more sin. God's going to take us all the way back when he creates the new heavens and new earth. He's going to make it the way it was when he originally did it with Adam and Eve. He's restoring it. But this time there will be no sin. I'm looking for that day, but we haven't entered into our rest yet. And so we are in the midst of the battle. We are in warfare. It is a reality, and God is calling, Kevin, stand firm. Do everything you can. I'm giving you the playbook and the needs of what you need to have for the right tools in your toolbox to accomplish this, and having, you can be able to say, I did everything I could, Lord. I put on all the armor. I was a person of prayer. I spent time in your word, yada, 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 so that we could stand firm. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he told them, and maybe he's telling some of us, he says, quit you like men, be strong. Quit living like a man, thinks like a man, responds like a man, and be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Have the mind of Christ in this situation. And the only way you can have the mind of Christ is spending time in the Word of God. And you will have the mind of Christ. Allowing the book to influence your thinking instead of the world. Number six is a good one. If you want to be uplifted, he says there is imminent victory. Imminent victory. He's reminding us right now, before we ever even get into the series, that victory is possible. Victory is guaranteed. But battle is always hard. There's always a cost to battle. If we think of a physical battle, we can go over and say, hey, we won this battle here, but there was a cost to that battle. There's always a cost. He goes, but I want you to understand that victory is imminent. I remember, if I'm getting it correctly here, I hope I am, that we had a general by the name of Patton. And Patton said to his men, he goes, you've heard that you need to give your life for your country. He goes, I don't believe that. He goes, I believe you need to make them, the enemy, give their life for their country. I agree with that, amen? Let them die for their cause. We want victory. And here we are being reminded that victory can be imminent. He's trying to encourage us, stand therefore. There's your phrase, stand therefore. It reminds the Christian that the victory is not just possible, that the victory is assured. But you have to go by the book. because this is what the commander-in-chief is giving us. I have a son, a grandson right now, who's in the Army. He's a paratrooper. And they can't just do what they want when they want. They have to go by what they were instructed and taught and trained in. They can't just say, I know I got all this training here, but I'm going to throw it out. I'm not going to worry about reading it. I'm just going to go out there and do it because I have played video games before. Nothing against that. I'm just saying we have to go by the commander-in-chief's word. The captain, the Bible calls him the captain of our salvation. He says the victory is imminent. It is guaranteed if you go by the book. Number 7, I got to keep moving here. A community of believers. I had to put this one in here. Because while Paul speaks about individual strength, and when Paul talks and reminds us that victory is assured in Christ, he also is emphasizing a collective, if you would, aspect of the Christian faith, that we are not in this struggle alone. We have to be lifting one another up. As a matter of fact, we'll get to it later, where Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All of us are in need of each other's prayers. We don't know. If you're working at work or if you're driving to the store and God brings a fellow believer to your mind, you should pray for them immediately. Immediately. You don't know what they're going through. Lord, I don't know why you brought them to my mind, but if there's a need, I pray, Lord, that you'd grant them protection, that you'd give them a confidence of your presence with them, whatever it may be with them and encourage them. We need each other. In the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles, Paul is not writing here. I almost said Paul is writing here. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I can get there. Come on. What do I want? Verse 15, I think. 20, verse 15. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king of Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. He's writing to a whole community of people. He's reminding all of them that they were overwhelmed by the enemy. Remember when Israel was hiding from Goliath? Remember when the people were afraid and yet God called in Gideon and 300 men to go against the Assyrian army that was without number? Here he's talking to Israel. He's talking to King Jehoshaphat and saying, don't be overwhelmed with what I'm sharing with you. The battle is not yours. It's God's. You just need to be clothed and prepared because he will grant you the victory. There's imminent victory, not only for you individually, but for us as a community of believers. And then we see also there is preparedness, understand, is the key. Paul is emphasizing very strongly that we are to be well equipped. We are to be proactive in our faith. We are to routinely be wearing the armor of God. We are to be actively ready for battle. We'll start training when the enemy attacks. Not a good plan. Not a good plan. Because you don't know today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, when the adversary will attack. You must be ready. You must be the battery bunny ever ready, because you don't know when he's going to attack. You don't know when you'll get taken by the wiles, the trickery, the methods of the devil. There has to be preparedness. Paul, when he was writing to Timothy, tells him in 2 Timothy, come on, chapter 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. God wants you, God wants me, to be a good soldier. I'll be with you. The battle is mine. I've given you this protective wear because he will come after you. His goal is to steal and to kill and to destroy. If I can't take away your salvation, which he can't, I can steal your testimony. I can destroy your how people view you, your reputation, whatever that people say. And you call yourself a Christian? There's a lot of that happening in our pulpits today, folks. We just had a big name pastor right here in the area, handcuffed, walking out, guilty of charges of things with children, right here in the Fort Worth area. And then we need to understand something here, very importantly here, is this is a purposeful fight. This isn't one that we just take lightly. This seems like it's insignificant. There is significance in our battles. Amidst every one of our trials, God has a greater plan. In the middle of every single trial that I'm going through and you're going through, God has a greater plan. He understands that his ways are not our ways, and we need to understand that. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He says, as high as the heavens are to the earth, so are my thoughts towards you. And that we still think we have to counsel him, don't we? But he understands that adversity will shape us. Adversity will conform us. Adversity, when we respond biblically, understanding it's not the temporal, but it's the spiritual that he's working on, it conforms us to be more and more like his son. And then it will allow us to witness the power of God on our lives, and also God using our lives to have his power influence others, that would strengthen our faith as well as theirs. Paul said this, I have, and by the way, here's the end result, I have fought a good fight. A good soldier fights a good fight. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. We all have a course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will give me at that day. And then he says, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. I believe Christ's return is imminent, meaning it can happen at any time. I've been doing a study for myself recently on King David had some mighty men. He had a lot of soldiers, but he had some that were called his mighty men. I mean, these guys were incredible warriors. But they all had their battles they had to fight. And each time God gave them victory because they stayed close and supported, listen, their earthly king. If you and I can see that God will bless them for supporting an earthly king, how much more for us to support a heavenly king? For he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Let's all stand for prayer. Next week we'll begin the study on knowing our adversary more detailed. Father, I ask that you would just take and use these scriptures, dear Father, to help us to see the importance of this battle, to see the importance of us being a part of this battle, to take us, dear Father, from our thinking of just the temporal view to the eternal view The Apostle Paul wrote in Corinthians, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. Pray, Father, that you would help us to be prepared, help us to be clothed, help us to be excited about what you're going to reveal to us in the weeks ahead in this area. And may we be more than conquerors for the cause of Christ while we have opportunity in this life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.